Amen, church. Amen. Please be seated. So very good to see everybody this morning. Welcome to Wesley. We are glad that you're here and you've come together to learn and grow in faith and to give yourselves as a sacrificial offering unto our Lord. We are in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. So if you have your Bibles with you, you want to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 11 as we continue to learn and grow in faith. We had such a great worship service last week with the young people and Larry's testimony and witness of faith. It was really, really good. And I introduced us to a very important discipleship idea. And what I'd like to do is pick up again. We are in the midst of a 12-part series learning what Jesus is trying to teach Peter and James and John about becoming the church. And the first thing that we talked about was teach us to pray. And we talked about the power and the place of prayer in the life of a believer. This week, we're going to talk about this next little passage. It's really two pieces, last week and this week. And I entitled this, Beware the Strong Man. Beware the Strong Man. So we began to talk about this last week. We're going to continue. And what I want to do is I want to read last week's passage and this week's passage, but I'm going to just change a couple words so we get a better idea of exactly kind of what's going on and why Jesus is saying the things that he's been saying. This is a really, really important discipleship lesson for us. If we want to be deep-rooted disciples of Jesus, we have to learn this lesson. This is one of those things where Jesus is saying something to some people over here, but he's really hoping that the people over here are paying attention. And I'm one of the people over here trying to pay attention to what it is that he's teaching us. So this is Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 14 and following. I'm going to read all the way through last week's lesson and this week's lesson, and then we're going to spend a few minutes just chatting about what it is that we need to learn. Pay attention. I changed a couple of words, so kind of pay attention to what I'm doing here. Okay, and this is Ernie's thing. It's not in here. This is Ernie's thing. Okay, so here we go. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some strong men said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he's driving out demons." And other strong men tested him and asked him for a sign. Jesus knew the thoughts of the strong men. And so he said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against itself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house swept, clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first." As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And now this morning's lesson. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation." I always wanted to start a sermon like that. It's just saying, pretty good, huh? All right, I'm not going to do that to you. We'll get there eventually, but not to start with. This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise at judgment with the men of this generation, condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would teach us through the words that are on the page, that they might become a very real and challenging, transforming word unto our souls. Help us to hear from you. Above all things, let the noise of this culture, let the noise of our own lives, let the clutter be cast aside, that we might hear clearly and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the message is entitled, Beware the Strong Man. And I want you to know that the strong man, that's just a pronoun. It could just as easily be the strong woman. It's the strong you and it's the strong me. What we're going to learn about this morning is very, very strong in every single one of us. This is inescapable. It is very, very strong. And so I've shared with you that when Jesus teaches, there's a crowd, a group of people, there's always two kinds of people in the crowd. There are those who are willing to listen, and there are those who are not willing to listen. And the crowd always seems to have those two kinds of people. Both groups tend to be confused. Both groups have questions. Some of the groups, the one group that doesn't want to listen, their questions are couched usually in a phrase something like, they were trying to trap him. They were going to test him. And so Jesus is again, he's speaking, he does this act, he heals a deaf mute. How many of you think that was a good thing that he did? That just by the nature of the act, it's good to heal people who are sick. Is that a good thing? Okay. And so in the crowd, as Jesus is acting, he does a good thing, and pretty much almost everyone would say that was a good thing. But in the crowd, there's a group of people who challenge that. And so the first group of people, those who really don't want to listen, they challenge Jesus. And they are very, I call them, and actually Jesus calls them, the strong man. The strong man doesn't want to listen. The strong man has the answers. The strong man has already made up his mind. The strong man doesn't understand what real transformation looks like. And so the first thing that the strong man does, and this is pretty consistent, you and I do this, the strong man has a tendency to take that which is good and turn it into evil. He takes what is good and turns it into evil. Or he takes what is evil and turns it into good. And so Jesus says to the strong man, the person who is doing this, they accuse him of doing this as an evil act. But it's really a good act. And so they're confused. They can't discern the difference between good and evil. And so they try to use what's happening to benefit themselves, and that's the sign that it's evil. And so Jesus' response to that is, I did a good thing. Good things come from God. It's only your perspective that it's evil. And he says, everybody who does this good thing is doing the good thing because of God. And so they kind of back off on that. And one of the patterns that I see in the scriptures over and over again is, when the strong man really doesn't have an argument that makes sense or a platform that people will agree with and understand, their immediate response is to turn to slander. And so they attack the good man in response because they don't really have anything real to say. And so they attack the good man. And this is consistent all the time in the scriptures. The second challenge that they have is that the strong man says to Jesus, "We demand a sign. We want you to prove that you're good." What does Jesus say? What does he say to them? What does he say to the strong man? "When the strong man demands a sign, I will believe you're from God if you," what? "Walk on water? Raise a 12-year-old from the dead?" I mean, what exactly does he have to do to prove that he's from God? See, he understands something about the strong man that you and I have trouble with. And that is that the strong man, you ready for this? It doesn't matter what he does. There is nothing he can do to convince someone that he's from God if the person has already made up their mind that he's not. Nothing he can do. He's not, and he refuses. He even says, "That's a wicked thing you're asking me to do. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to give you a sign. I'm not going to do it." And because he understands something, to the person who already believes, no proof is necessary. But to the man, the strong man, who doesn't believe and has already made up his mind, no proof is possible. And he understands that. And so he's basically says, I am not going to give you what you want. And he walks away from them. He speaks it, and then he walks away. Now, I know that when we read a story like this, sometimes we think that story is about someone else. And it's not really. Like, I'm not the strong man, right? I'm glad he said that to them, but it has nothing to do with me, right? Because I'm not the strong man. Well, wrong. I want you to understand that for each one of us in this room, the strong man is right there. It is right there all the time. And so I wrote down four things that our society and maybe even our church, it would be a good thing for us to heed if we would spend some time and listen to this. I'm only going to talk about one of them, but these are four really important signs that the strong man is strong, okay? You might want to write these down because these are powerful. I may someday do a whole sermon series on this. The first, and this is the one I'm going to spend some time with this morning, evidence of the strong man is seen when there is knowledge without godly transformation. That is a sign of the strong man. Second, when there is compassion without justice. Third, when there is judgment without humility. And the fourth, when there are opinions without consequences. Now, we could do a sermon on any one of those. I'm just going to do the first one because it's about me. And you know how I am. When I find something that hits me, and this hit me hard, I need to share it. When there is knowledge without godly transformation. I am saying to you that knowledge without godly transformation is evil. That's a big statement. So it works like this. How many of you know, for example, I've taught you some things over the years. You've had other pastors who have taught you things over the years. How many of you know that it is a good thing in your life for you to be a generous person with the resources that God has given to you? Do you know that? Everybody know that? Okay. How many of you know that God loves mercy? Anybody know that? We've learned that together. God loves mercy, right? How many of you know the answer to this question? What's the greatest commandment? Do you guys know that? What's the greatest commandment? We've learned that together. What is it? Love the Lord. See, you guys know this. You know this. What's the second greatest commandment? It's like unto the first. Love, see how much you know? You know a great deal. Right? What does it mean when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself? You know it in your minds, but here's the question. Have you done it? That's the question. Because if you know it and you haven't done it, it is dangerous to you. You are held to a higher accountability because you know it. If you know and do not do, it is dangerous. It is the strong man. And it works like this. I know I am to love my neighbor. Do I know my neighbor? Do I know my neighbor's name? I live in an apartment complex. And I'm going to tell you, I know the name of every dog that lives in our apartment complex. I walk a dog, every single dog, I know their name. How many human beings do I know their name? None. I don't know the name of, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that, really? It's the dogs. They're so darn cute. No. See, I am to love my neighbor, right? Do you even know what's happening in your neighbor's life? Do you know if they're grieving? Do you know if they're rejoicing? Do you know if there's sorrow next door? Do you even know what's happening? And if you don't know, that is now upon you. Now that falls upon you. And knowing without doing is not good for your soul. And what we do within the life of the church is we make this mistake of thinking that all we have to do is know more. And so, in order to put a blanket over what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach me, what I will do, and I've had people do this, is say, I'm going to take Ernie's next Bible study class. That'll take care of it. No. No. It doesn't matter how much you know. It only matters how much you've been changed. You see, I know that I am to love my neighbor. I know that. I've known it for a long, long time. Let me tell you how close this is to us. When I lived in Ocoee, I owned a home. I knew all my neighbors' names then. Walked the dogs. You know, I knew everybody. I had a cute little dog, so I met everybody. And my next-door neighbor, his name is Paul. And Paul was an Elvis impersonator. He worked downtown at City Walk, and that was his thing. His gig was Elvis. And so we lived there for a long, long time. And Paul got a back injury, and he had to have back surgery. Now, I knew this because I talked to Paul or his wife almost every day. You know, I walked the neighborhood and talked to people almost every day. So he went down for back surgery, and I was mowing my lawn one day, and I noticed his lawn was a little high. So I called the Homeowners Association, and I reported him. That's what the piece of paper says to do. Am I not supposed to do that? Am I not supposed to say his lawn is 2 inches high and you need to come and take care of this? Because after all, I pay my homeowners association fee and it's your job to take care of this guy. Am I supposed to do that? Okay, no, I'm a Christian, okay? And what Jesus teaches me should be changing my life. I should not be like everybody else, right? What should I do? Mow the guy's lawn, okay? It's not hard to figure out. And so I mow his lawn, right? And then the next week, I mow his lawn again. And then the next week, I mow his lawn again. 2 months in, I'm like, how long is it? He never once came out. Never once said thank you. Once said a word, and I'm starting to like, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I know I'm to love my neighbor, but I ought to at least get a thank you out of this, right? Isn't that how it works? Shouldn't I just get something back from this? Is that not fair? And in my mind, I'm going, oh, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. Right? Isn't that how it works? No, I'm a Christian. Okay? The thought is there. I'm not going to lie to you. The thought, the feeling, the need to be appreciated, the need for someone to notice me and pay attention to me and realize just how good a person I am? It's right there. It's right on me. Why is it that when I desire to do good, evil is right there? That's how close the strong man is. He's really close for every one of us. He's not far away. And what he wants me to do is turn my back on what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do. He wants me to be his. He wants to own me. So it's right there. So how do I fight it? I mow the lawn again. One more time. Right after I had the thought, mow the lawn one more time. This is exactly what happened. I said, nope, going to mow the lawn. Mow the lawn. This time, edge it, pull the weeds. I'm at it. I'm fighting the strong man. I'm toe-to-toe because I know that someone stronger is going to help me. Toe-to-toe. The next night, Paul and his wife brought dinner to my whole house. He brought his guitar over, and he sang some Elvis for us. Thank you very much. It's that close, guys. It's that close to you, and it's that close to me. And Jesus says to us, he warns us, you really want to grow up in faith? You darn well better be able to recognize the strong man. Because here's what we know. We know the strong man is strong. And while he's standing in front of his house, he will protect it, and his home will be protected. But eventually, something's going to happen. And we got to learn to trust in the reality that a stronger man is right there. He's right there next to us. Because greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. Amen? Greater is the power that's in me. While the Holy Spirit is trying to tell me, Ernie, mow the lawn. Ernie, mow the lawn. What's Ernie doing? I mowed the lawn enough. I mowed the lawn enough. I did enough. I did enough. I did enough. I did enough. Time for me to retire. I'm done. Right? That's the strong man. That's not Jesus. That's not how he talks. He says, love your neighbor. Well, what if you have a miserable neighbor? What if your neighbor's not Paul, somebody like that? What if your neighbor is a mean, nasty old guy in his 80s, crotchety, just mean? What if he's just mean? What do? Well, you avoid him and you just don't talk to him anymore, right? Isn't that what you do? You stay away from him, right? What do? You're a Christian. What do? Take his trash can up because he can't do it anymore and put it where it belongs. That's what you do. It's not hard. It's simple stuff. Take his trash can up, put it where you think it belongs, and he yells at you because you put it in the wrong place. What do? Put it in the right place. You see? That strong man is right here. He's right on us all the time. Satan's desire is to own you. That's what Satan wants. And Jesus says this, you are either for me or you're against me. You either learn to put the strong man aside and humble yourself to the one who is stronger, or you're not on my side. It's really pretty simple. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you. Father, we ask for your greatest and richest blessing upon us, especially now as we get ready to commune. We ask, Lord, that you would receive our heartfelt prayer. We ask for your forgiveness because, quite honestly, we have not loved our neighbor the way that we should, and we know it. So empower us to move forth in righteousness. Forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all that is wicked and evil in our hearts. Help us to do your bidding in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite our communion stewards, if you would please, to come forward. We remember how in the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. And how after the supper he took the cup, poured it out and said, this cup is a new covenant. My blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. do this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim our Lord's death until he comes again. Come again he shall, to receive his children unto himself, that where he is, there we might be also. Holy Communion here at Wesley is an open invitation to all who stand in need of God's grace and mercy. And that's all of us. We all need to remember that God never forgot us, and he never gave up on us. That in spite of the fact that I was a sinner, he died for me, that I might have everlasting life. Same for you. You have been chosen by him, and I pray God's richest blessing upon you. You may come as the Lord leads, and may God bless you as you commune. I want to close by sharing with you a great promise that Jesus gives us. He prays for you before his crucifixion. I don't know if you know that or not. He prays for all future believers. He prays for all of us. And if you will come to communion and seek first the wisdom of being able to discern, he will give it to you. He promises that he will give you the ability to discern, because he's poured his Holy Spirit inside of you. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to confirm the person of Jesus, to help you to understand the power that Christ has. The work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal unto you the strong man. And sometimes that comes in a voice of conviction. And sometimes in a voice of confirmation. But it comes. He promises that you will never, ever be alone. It is, the Holy Spirit in your life is like the hound of heaven that comes running after you. He will never forsake you and never leave you alone. And sometimes you just got to humble yourself and say, you know what? I'm just going to mow the lawn again. Sometimes you just got to listen. I pray that you understand that Jesus died so that you would be a new kind of person, one who would hear him and follow after. Let's give him a prayer of thanksgiving for not giving up on us. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for sending us Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for his Spirit that guides us and directs us, convicts us and affirms your way in us. Help us to be aware. Teach us to listen. Teach us, Lord, to be humble enough to allow our lives to be changed, that we might become like you. So, Father, we turn to you. We give you thanks for your forgiveness and for the truth. You have never given up on us.